Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Kedushin Chaf Hei. We begin with a story, two lines off the top of the Amud, a story regarding Sabe de Nezunya, the elders of the town Nezunya. They failed to show up to the Shiur of Rav Chisda, which was an affront. It was an insult to Rav Chisda. Amar Le, L'Rav Hamnuna. Rav Chisda turns to his Talmud, Rav Hamnuna, he says, put them into Cherem. Zil Tzan Inhu, Rashi says, Lashon Tznius. They should stay at home, concealed. And this is a Lashon used when applying Nidoi, which is a form of Cherem. When applying it to a Talmud Chacham, you do it with respect, derech kavod, stay at home, isolate yourself. Azal amarlo, so Rav Hamnuna went over to the Sabe de Nezunya and he asked them, why didn't you come to this year? Amarlo, my time, asur rabbanon leperke, why did you fail to show up? Which sent a bad message to the masses. Amrulay, they said, well, am I nicey? Why should we come to Ba'inan, Mine Milsa? Last time we went to the Shir, we asked him a question, and Valay Pashadlan, he didn't bother responding to us, so we stopped coming. Amrulahus, he tells them, you know, there must have been a reason, perhaps it was going to interrupt the flow of the Shir. He didn't, you know, disregard your question outright. It was just a circumstantial. Look, come ask me the question. I'll try to answer it for you. Amr lehu mi ba isu minayu minay midi v'loy pashitn lehu. Did you ever ask me something v'loy pashitn lehu, and I failed to answer you? And if I know the answer, and I'm a Talmud of Rav Chisda, certainly Rav Chisda himself knew good and well how to answer you. But he, you know, it just didn't work out at the time. Don't take offense. Okay, he said, we'll give it a try. Bo minay, they asked him a question as follows. So we have to stop for a second. We're in the middle of the sugi of the Eved, who was injured by his master, and we learned yesterday, any type of visible mum qualifies for shichrur to, set him free. It needs to be a mum shebegoli, a visible exposed blemish inflicted by his master, and number two, it has to be of a permanent nature. It has to be something that doesn't, you know, regenerate, regrow, or heal itself. Now this was their question. Bo minei. Eved shesirur soy rabbi bebeitzim mahu. If the master injured him by injuring his beitzim, this is the male reproductive system, the testicles. So, you know, it is considered a blemish, which is visible. Rashi says it's nikar. But it's encased. So, yeah, is it considered mum shebegoloi, which qualifies for freedom or not? How do we qualify it? Evet shesir se rabbi bebeitzimau. Ki mum shebegoloi dami? Is it considered begoloi? And he goes free, oiloi, or not? Lo yihava biyadei? He didn't have an answer. Amruloi, so they responded to him in a less than an impressed manner. Amrulay Mashimcha, what's your name? Amrulu Hamnuna, my name is Hamnuna. Amrulay said, they responded to him, Lav Hamnuna, your name isn't really Hamnuna, that's not the right name, because as the Ritva learns that Hamnuna means you're anchored in the Beis HaMedrash, you're fully versed and fully knowledgeable. No, that's not an appropriate name. Look, Ella Karnuna, a better name would be Karnuna. Rashi says, Yeshev Kronis Ata, you just sit around and, you know, waste time. Lay Baal Torah. So they sort of did away with him because he didn't have an answer to the question. So basically, we want to know, what is the halach of Sirus Bebeitzim? Asol Kamedar of Chizda. Rav Hamnuna returns to his Rebbe and asks him the question, in their name, I guess. Amar Lay, so Rav Chisda responds, well, Masnisa, Bo'minach, this very question is actually discussed in a Braisa. Okay? So, yeah, it's a clear halacha. And we start with a Mishnah, and then we move on to a Braisa. This is none. Esrim v'arbo, Rashi v'aram sheba'adam. Those 24 limb tips, like fingertips and tips of the toes, etc., which we discussed yesterday as basically the list of possible injuries or wounds that would qualify for the Eved going free, right? So Esrim v'arbo, Rashi v'aram sheba'adam. They have other designations as well. Kulam ein metamen mishum michya. Michya is a skin-colored portion of a nega. So when that is noticed, if that's discovered on a nega, the michya is considered a siman of tuma, but it doesn't apply. It doesn't work when this michya, the natural-looking flesh, is actually situated on one's fingertip. And the reason for that is, Rashi explains, because it has to be seen all at once, and when it's on a fingertip, so it's curving and it's not all visible at once. So those areas do not qualify for michya. Ve'elu heim, and here we go listing the 24 areas. Rashi etzbois yadayim raglaim, fingertips, toe tips. Rashi has nine tips of one's ears. Rashi chaitim, tip of his nose. Rashi gvira, tip of his male organ. Rashi dadim shabi isha. The nipples of a woman, by the man as well. And here comes a braisa which elaborates on this Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about Negoyim. But the braisa will now relate it to our sugya as well, to the Eved going free. Bikulam, regarding all these, Eved, Yoitzmem, Lecheris, they belong on the list of possible injury locations which qualify for Cheris of the Eved. Rabbi Omer, Afas, Sirus, likewise. Injury in the reproductive area also qualifies, but as Omer Afaloshin, injury in one's tongue, that is also considered, a visible, exposed, external wound, because although the tongue is situated inside one's mouth, but ultimately it finds its way out when he's speaking, etc. It's visible, it's seen, and therefore it's called Mum Shebegoli. So bottom line, at this point in the Gemara, we seem to have a Machlokes, right? What was that question? Sirus. Mum Shebegoli or Mum Shebeseser? We seem to have a Machlokes. Tanakama does not mention Sirus on his list, whereas Rebbe does. So now we have two Shitas, and later on we'll see, actually there's a third Shita as well. Depends how severe the injury is, etc. Amar. Okay, let's go back and review and try to crystallize this topic. Rebbe Amar has Sirus. Sirus also qualifies. Sirus the Mai, where was he? This Eved injured. Elim Asirus, the Gid, was speaking about the actual Aver HaZachar. Hainu Gviya, well, the Mishnah already mentioned that on its list of 24, locations. One was Reisha Gviya. So why repeat the same thing? Elolav Asirus, the Beitz, was speaking that the testicles were injured. And Tanakama does not consider that to be a Mum Shebegoli, which qualifies for releasing of the Eved. Rabbi Amaf Asirus, Sirus does qualify because it's nicker, it's visible, it's considered somewhat external and qualifies. So there's the Machlekes. Now let's move on to the next item on the list. Benazai added another location, Loshain, injury in one's tongue. Rabbi seems to disagree. He considers that to be an internal wound, which doesn't qualify for Cheres, right? Really? Rabbi Loshain Loi? Going to Rabbi. Loshain is not called external and visible. V'raminu. Here comes another braisa, which actually discusses a totally different topic, but has its ramifications on our topic as well, on our sugi as well. But it's all basically rooted in the same question: what is considered internal and what is external? V'raminu. Listen to this braisa. Areish mishaya maza. So we have a fellow spraying the paraduma water, which has to land on an external area of one's body. And there you go, the water landed on his mouth. We'll see in a minute what portion of his mouth, the lips, the tongue. In any case, it landed on his mouth. Rebbe Omer Hiza, it works, it's effective. It's considered an external area, and he becomes tahir. It's not worth much. So what is piv? My love, Lishoni was speaking about his tongue. And we see that according to Rebbe, tongue is considered external. Right? So just like it works by the paraduma, it should work when it comes to the injury inflicted on the Eved. Says the Gemara, no. We're not speaking about his tongue. His tongue is perhaps internal. Loy al sfasav. We're speaking that the water landed on his lips. And lips are visible. They're external. They're exposed. Well, says the Gemara, if that, then what are you even talking about? Of course, al sfasav pshit, of course, it's obvious that it works. Ma'od atema, perhaps I would say not so obvious. Zimnen d'cholim sfasav, because, you know, sometimes you purse your lips, you close up your mouth and the lips are inside and not visible. So at times they're inside, at times they're outside. So perhaps they're not considered consistently, exposed and external. The chiddush of Rebbe is no. We classify them as external. Says the Gemara, but Vatanya, listen to this brisa, which clearly says al lishonei, the water landed on his tongue. Apparently, that's the topic of discussion. Vaitanya. We have another brisa regarding a different topic, but also related. It's also a question of internal and external. We're speaking about a bechor there, a bechor animal, firstborn, which is considered kadosh and considered a karban, must be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, unless you discover a blemish, a real blemish, an external blemish, a permanent blemish, and then you can, just shecht it wherever. Okay? So we have a whole long list of candidates for a mum. V'oid tanya, we have another item in that list, which is v'shenit al-reiv al-loshen, reiv of his tongue, talking about the animal's tongue, was removed. That's considered a mum. And Rebbe comes and explains what that means. Rebbe HaMadaber Shev Lashon, was speaking about the portion of his tongue, the animal's tongue, which moves, which creates the sound, which is considered HaMadaber, even though the animal doesn't speak, but just an expression. The part in the tongue that moves around, that enables a person to speak. So most of that was taken, right? It was removed. That's called a mum, which qualifies by Bechor as well. So what do we see from here? That Rebbe considers a serious tongue injury as a mum shebegalei. It qualifies by Bechor, and it should qualify by Hazoras Paraduma and by the Eved going free. Because they're all based on the same idea. External, visible, exposed. He writes, says the Gemara, Ella Rebbe Eimer Sirus V'lomi Ba'ilashen. When Rebbe added Sirus in the Brisa to the list of possible Eved injuries, which allow freedom, he meant on top of Loshen, in addition to Loshen. V'lomi Ba'ilashen, of course, it goes without saying that Loshen qualifies, as Rebbe himself holds by Hazoras Paraduma, Loshen is considered an external entity. So that's Rebbe. And Ben Azai, in that Mishnah as well, Ben Azai Omar Loshen Aval Sirus Lay. Right? So Ben Azai, when he was following up on Rebbe's Shita in that Brisa, by saying Loshen, he meant specifically Loshen. Only that I agree with, but not Sirus. Because Sirus is considered somewhat internal, it doesn't qualify. Now, although Ben Azai used the word Af, which sounds like he's adding onto Rebbe, Rebbe said Sirus, and Ben Azai added Lashon, Umay Af Akamais. No, he was going back to the Tanakama. Tanakama gave us a list of, 24 areas, etc. I'm adding to that. Lashon is okay, but I'm not agreeing with Rebbe that Sirus qualifies, because that's considered internal. Yach, if that's the case, that he's disagreeing with Sirus being external, Nikdamada Ben Azai Bereshit, then the Brisa should have mentioned Ben Azai first. We have the other locations. Comes Ben Azai and adds the Lashon, which is more external than Sirus debates him, right? So he's adding that. And then we have Rebbe, who comes to add even more. So that's the way that's the way it should be sequenced. Tanakama, who speaks about the more basic and obvious injuries, and then Ben Azai adds the Lashon, which is, somewhat obvious. And then Rebbe, he comes with the bigger Chiddush, extends it even further to Sirus debates him. So it should be sequenced like that. Why do we have Tanakama, then Rebbe, and then back to Ben Azai? Answer, Tana Shama Lede Rebbe. It's just a question of, the way it happened. The Tana who, composed the Brisa here, he first heard Rebbe's Shita, Vekava, and he inserted it into his halacha. V'shama le Ben Azai v'tani. And then you heard Ben Azzi has halachas, he added that as well. But you don't want to switch around the sequence and mess up the order in the Braisa. So Mishnah lo lezazim im kaima, you know, that's the way it is. We leave things the way they are so that the Talmidim, who are accustomed to learning the Mishnah and the Braisa in a certain way, did not have to get, you know, confused. So we just left the Mishnah as it is, the Braisa as it is, and we kept on adding. But of course, the way it turns out is that the Tanakama holds, you know, his cases work, and Ben Azzi adds the tongue as well. And comes Rebbe and adds Sirus de Beitzim, which is an extreme case, which is a bigger chiddush, which only he adds to the list, as opposed to Tanakama Ben Azzi. They consider the Sirus de Beitzim to be too internal, invisible, don't qualify. Okay, so bottom line is, we started with a question posed by the Sabbat de Nizunyu, failed to come to the Shir. They had a very interesting question. Sirus de Beitzim, on account of the master, does he ever go free? Is it considered mumin shebegoloi or not? It turns out to be a machlekes. Okay, now let's move over to the tongue issue. Is that considered seiser or goli? Regarding many halachis, regarding the eved going free, regarding the hazav, the paraduma, etc., etc. Amar ula hakol moedim, all agree, but lashon, when it comes to classifying the lashon, the tongue, the Indian tone, when it comes to tumah related issues, which, you know, require direct contact, external contact. Meaning if tumah touches one's inner cavity, there's no tumah transferred. There has to be a direct contact with his exposed areas, his flesh. What about his tongue? What status do we give the tongue? Is it internal, or can it be a medium for transfer of tumah to a person? Hakol moedim beloshen l'inyan tumah degoloi hu etzel shasheretz. When it comes to touching a dead creature, yes, tongue is a perfect medium for transfer of tumah to the person. My time and why? Asher yigaboy amar achmarat. Pasuk speaks about touching, contact. V'hainami bar negiyahu. You can touch with your tongue. As Rashi says, just like your hands. Right? The pasuk, which describes the hands as the perfect medium. You know, tongue is also similar, because just like your hands can go and reach out and touch, likewise, says Rashi, Sharei Moitzi L'Shoinoi V'Noigim B'Begoli, a person has the ability to extend his tongue out of his mouth and touch something B'Goli, revealed, visible, and that qualifies as Negiyah B'Tumah. Okay, so that's a given. My time, Asher Yigabay Amrachmon, Vahinam Ibar Nigeo. What about lenient tefillah? We know when one is tevil in a mikvah, the water has to come into contact with his entire being, all his exposed areas. What about his tongue? No need for that. Everybody agrees, lenient tefillah, when it comes to tefillah purposes, ketam and dummy. Tongue is a hidden entity. No need to actually stick out your tongue and touch the water. My time, Avrachas Besari, Vahinam Amrachmon. The pasuk describes being tevil or mikvah and contacting the water. It's the basur that has to come into contact. Ma basori me avroi, and the basur here is setting up the standards. It has to be something external and exposed. Avkoil me avroi, anything that's external and exposed must touch the water, but tongue doesn't qualify because it's most likely, it's most often inside. L'nechel gu'il inyin hazo. Machlekes here discusses one specific thing, hazo. He's already tummy. His hands touch the mace. He needs the hazah, the paraduma, on the third and seventh day. What about if the hazah touches his tongue? Is that sufficient? That's the machlekes. Tin Rebbe, the Rabbana. Why? Rebbe medami lo l'tumah. It's all based on a pasuk, and we'll see in a minute. And Rebbe compares the hazah process to the tumah process. And just like the tongue works by tumah, as we explained, it works by the hazah, which is sort of a flip side of the tumah. For Rabbanan medami lo l'tefillah, they compare it to tefillah. Just like tongue is considered internal regarding immersion in a mikvah, likewise regarding hazoah aspara. What is this based on? V'tar vayu b'hai kroka miflgi, and there the machlekes is all about the following pasuk, which says v'hiza hatar el atame. Okay, so he does the hazoah on the tame. V'yamashlishi v'yamashvi v'chitoi v'yamashvi v'kibetz v'godav v'rochatz b'mayim. So the pasuk makes reference to tefillah after the hazoah v'tohe barev. So first we have Hazah. Hazah Hator al HaTameh, a reference to a person who becomes Tameh through, presumably through Negiyah, let's say, right? And now at the end we have a discussion regarding Mikvah. So in the same Pasuk, we have a reference to Hazah, to becoming Tameh, and to immersion in a Mikvah. So the question is, what do we connect Hazah to? What guidelines do we follow when it comes to Hazah in terms of classifying the various locations in one's body? Do we give it the same formula as Tumah, in which case tongue qualifies, or as a Tefillah, in which case tongue does not qualify? That's the Machlokes. V'hizah atar ala tameh v'gaymeh. Rabbi Savar, v'hizah atar ala tameh. V'ayma shlishi, v'ayma shvi v'chitay. So, we connect the hazah, v'chitay is the hazah, the cleansing process. We connect it to the words al hatameh. And therefore, tongue, which qualifies as a medium of tumah transfer, also works for tahara. Rabbanu Sabri, v'chitoy, v'yem ha'shvi, v'kibes, v'godav, v'rochatz v'mayim. They take v'chitoy, which is the hazor of the parah, and connect it to v'rochatz v'mayim, to tvila. Tongue does not qualify. V'rabbanu nami, nidmai l'tumah. You know, you can go both ways. Why don't the Rabbanu connect it to tumah? Well, tahara mitahara have a little made of. It's more probable that we connect hazor aspara, which is a form of cleansing, to immersion in a mikvah, which does likewise. V'Rabbi nidmai l'tefila. No, so why doesn't Rabbi connect hazor to tefila? V'chibes begad v'hifsek inim, because we have the words v'chibes begad in between the word v'chitay, which is the sprinkling, and the words v'rochas v'mayim, which is the tefila. So it sort of makes that disconnect, telling us to go the other way. Therefore, we go in the other direction, we connect it to the words al hatameh, which is the tumah process, and we treat it likewise. So bottom line, tongue is qualified as revealed regarding, is classified as a makom megula regarding tumah. Regarding tefillah, it's a makom seser. Regarding hazah, we have a machlekes. Asks the Gemara, v'savar Rebbe l'inyan tefillah k'tamun dome. You're telling me that even Rebbe agrees that when it comes to tefillah, the tongue doesn't have to actually touch the water, because it's inside his, the cavity of his mouth. It's a makom seser. Really? V'amar Rabin. Amar v'ada. Amar Rebbe Yitzchak. Here comes a story. Masa b'shivcha shel beis Rebbe. A shivcha. In the household of Rebbe. She'a tavla. She was tavla in a mikveh. V'olsa. And after she emerges. V'nimtza etzem mishneah. They discover a bone chip large between her teeth, which creates that barrier, that chatzitza. And this qualifies the tefillah. What do you mean? It's inside one's mouth. No water gets there in any case. Rebbe required a redo. Answers the Gemara. You're right. Practically, water need not go into one's mouth. We don't need actual water entering the mouth. But we need potential for water entering. We need it free of chatzitzes. Before your table, you have to brush your teeth. You have to ensure that the areas, even inside one's mouth, which are called base hastorim. Now, halacha, it's considered base hastorim, hidden, concealed areas. They have to be free of any barriers, any potential chatzitza between them and the water. It's almost like when you're a tevel, so everything sort of is in contact with the water, even things which aren't practically touching the water. The water which surrounds the person sort of permeates the entire person. You can't have chatzitzas anywhere in one's body, even in a base hastorim. So practically, there's no need for water entering her mouth. But if there's a chatzitza, of course. Interesting concept. Where do we find a precedent to such an idea? That practice is not important, but potential is. Kedrav is zera. Listen to this. Damar zera. When it comes to the size of a mincha, which typically has flour and oil, which must be mixed together, says Rav Zera. Damar zera kola roi labila. If the mincha is small enough in quantity, small enough in size, which allows for mixing, for a proper mix, ain bila makeves, but even if he skips the actual mixing, it's okay, because he has the ingredients, he has the substance, he has the material. But v'she'einu yiroi labila, but let's say it's so grand and so big, you can't properly mix this amount of flour with so much oil, with so little oil. In this case, we say that the lack of mix, bila ma'akeves boy, the bila requirement is so important that you have to have that potential, even though in practice you're not going to do it. So it's not ma'akev. You don't mix the milcha, it's still kosher, but it has to have the ability to be mixed. Otherwise, you're sort of bringing a different animal, like the Rashbam of Abbasra says, you know, Hashem says bring wheat, you're bringing barley. You're bringing something which is not mix-enabled. So same thing with the tefillah. The whole person, the entire person, in his entirety, whether the exposed ears or concealed ears, need to be tefillah-enabled without chatzitz. Okay, so ultimately, when it comes to the lashon, how do we classify the lashon of a person? So it depends what we're talking about. For receiving tumah, for being makabel tumah, the lashon is called galui. It can make a negiah but tumah and bring tumah to the person. When it comes to a mum on a bechira, there as well, we consider it to be a makim galui, mum shebegalui. When it comes to tvila, we don't have to actually have negiah smayim in one's tongue. When it comes to hazaa of the Paraduma, while we have Machlekes, Rebbe and the Rabbana. And when it comes to the Mum of an Eved, right, inflicted by his master, so again we have a Machlekes, Tanakhama does not add that to the his list, whereas Ben Azai and even Rebbe hold that it's considered enough Mum Shebegolei to set him free. Okay, now let's go back for a minute to the discussion of the serious debates in which was an injury inflicted by his master in his reproductive area. Is that considered a mum shebegalui? Ketanoi actually were machlekes. So previously we discussed two shitas, now comes a third shita as well. The Braisa says like this. We have a pasuk umoch, v'chasus, v'nosuk, v'karus. These are all forms of different forms of injury regarding that area. Umoch has it's been crushed, v'chasus, the beitzim have been even more crushed, v'nosuk, the beitzim have been detached, but still encased. The charos have been partially detached, but again, they're still encased in their encasement. Kulam beitzim, all these describe mumen in the beitzim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, beitzim lebegid? What do you mean, if it's on the gid, then it doesn't qualify? Well, of course, it's certainly considered a mum. This is regarding an animal, a bechor, because the gid is even more exposed and visible. Ela kulam af beitzim. Of course, begid is a problem. Ela kulam af beitzim, even the beitzim which are partially concealed, this qualifies a mum. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, who says all four situations qualify. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yaakov, Oymer, Kulam, Begid. He disagrees. In the Beitim, they don't qualify as a mum shebegoli, only in the Gid, which is visible and seen. Rabbi Yossi, Oymer, it depends how severe. Two and two. Moch, v'chassus, crushed, and even crushed more. Af bebeitim, that qualifies even if it's in the Beitim, because it's visibly a mum. Whereas Nasak, v'karus, various forms of detachment, that only works by the Gid, Begid, in Begate, Beitim, Loi, because it's a relatively minor injury, and if it's in the beitzim, which are concealed in any case, that doesn't qualify as a mum shebegoloi, and doesn't disqualify the animal for carbon. So bottom line is, regarding our sugya as well, the eved who got injured in these manners, well, what qualifies and what doesn't? We seem to have a three-way machlekes. Okay, so in the gid, of course, in the beitzim, some say yeah, some say no, some say depends what. Continues the Mishnah. Behemogas, you have a behemo who's large in size, you know, a big cow, etc. Niknis b'mesira. How do we acquire? How does one buy these things? Through mesira, which basically means handing over. So the former owner hands over the reins or whatever control to the animal to the new owner. That's called a kinin mesira. V'hadaka, a small-sized animal. V'hagbo, you have to actually lift it off the ground. That makes it yours. So it's either mesira by a large animal or hagbo by a small animal. Divrei Rav Meir, that's his shita. We're going to have four shitas coming up soon. So Rav Meir holds, it's either Mesira or Hagbah, depending on the size. Rav Elazar, Racham Oimrim, no, Behema Daka Niknes B'Meshicha. They hold that the way to be Koina, a Behema Daka, is through Meshicha. Certainly lifting, certainly Hagbah works, but even Meshicha, you know, calling him over or pulling him over, that's enough. Darash Rav B'Kim Chunya. So Rav gave a drasha one day in the town of Kim Chunya as follows. Behema Gasa. How do you koina Behema Gasa? Niknas b'Meshicha. Only through Meshicha. And not through Mesira. Ashechinu Shmuel. the Talmid of Rav. So Shmuel encountered the Talmidim of Rav, and he had a question for them. Amar Lu, he tells them like this. Mi Amar Rav behemagasa nikness b'mishicha? Is it true that Rav holds that a himagasa requires mishicha? V'anam b'mesira tznar. We have a Mishnah which says mesira works. For Rav nami b'mesira, Amar Rav himself had previously said the same thing. Hadar bei. Mi yahi, do you think that he changed his mind? Right? You go back on that halacha? Did he turn to does he require Mashiach instead of Mesira? Answers the Gemara. Actually, there are so many shitas, and Rav, you know, happened to be speaking about that specific shita when he was darshaning in Kinchunya. Who the Amakai Tana? He was following the following Tana in the following price. So we'll see. And that's what Rebbe was following. Chacham hold whether it's behemagas or behemadaka. You need mashicha. You can't do mesira. That's how Rav paskins. Actually, that's how the Rambam paskins and the Shulchan Aruch paskin. So that's how Rav was. That's why Rav was going with that shita, because he was following shitas chacham. He himself perhaps held differently, but there in the shir he went with shitas chachamim. Zuvazu niknas b'mashicha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zuvazu b'akba. Listen to this. Even a behemah gasa requires akba. So that's two shittas here. And then we have two additional shittas in the Mishnah. We have Ramei and Rabbi Lezer who hold that behemah gasa requires mesira, and behemah daka hakba. And that's Dibir Ramei and Rabbi Lezer. Oh, it goes together. I made a mistake. Dibir Ramei and Rabbi Lezer. And then we have the chachamim in the Mishnah who say that behemah daka can have mashicha as well. So basically, before we continue, we have four shittas. We've got to get it clear. We have four shittas. Number one, Rav Meir and Rav Elazar in the Mishnah. They hold behemah gasa b'mesira daka b'hagba. Chachamim in the Mishnah hold gasa b'mesira and daka, not only b'hagba, even mashicha. In the Brisa we have the chachamim. Gasa and daka need mashicha. Rav Shimon hold gasa and daka hagba. Here comes an interesting question. Maskev l'Rav Yosef. Ela mi'ata pil l'Rav Shimon. Hagbah is the only way to be kaina, a gasa or a daka. How do you buy an elephant? How do you lift the elephant? How am I buy it? Okay, a chalipin. With the chalipin kini, which doesn't require lifting the animal, make a swap with the owner, and that's how you kaina. Inami another way, b'secheres mekaimai. So you rent the actual spot where the animal's standing on. And by being kind of the property, you're kind of the animal above it. That's another way of being kind. Rav Zera Amar, I have another way. Maybe I'll borrow Kalim. The buyer brings four utensils. Manichan tachas raglab, and has the elephant stand in the kli. So he has one kli under each foot. Even though it's sitting in the seller's property, you can do that because it's your keli. Shamas minas, so you're going to tell me that Kalev shalakeach rishus mecher kana? It's a big question. Big question whether the kaina can use his kalim even though they're sitting in their shus meicher. You're going to tell me based on this halacha that it works, that it's kana lekeach? Well, look, my skin was simta. Well, speaking that it's not in the other fellow's house. You're sitting in a simta, a side street, an alleyway, which is, you know, not considered a mokim of thoroughfare, and over there you can be kind of things. So, yeah, it works. In nami or very simple etza for the elephant, b'chavil is meiris. So he has, you know, bundles of vine branches, or any branches, basically. He puts a pile on the ground. He has the elephant climb up on that pile. And by facilitating that lift, that's called hagbah. And he's kind. Okay, so we discussed three things. First of all, sirus v'beitzim. Is that enough to let the eved free? We have three shittos. Yes, no. Sometimes. What about the injury in his lashon, in his tongue? So what is considered? What is a lashon considered? Gully, seiser. So we said for tumah it's gully, for mikvah it's seiser, for bachar it's gully, for the eved we have a machlekes, and we discussed the various forms of kinyanim by behemah gasa and by behemah daka, and we resolved the elephant issue. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.